what we're going to do is get our reading. So it'd be really helpful if you grab your Bibles. Could you flick in your Bibles to Matthew 26? Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. I think I'm going to read it now. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to the disciples, found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watching with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." I'm going to pray, and then we're going to think a little bit about that passage. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you when it shows us what is true. We thank you that it shows us wonderful things about Jesus. Please speak to us now. Amen. Today, I'd like to do something slightly different. I'd like to tell you a story. Now, it's not a true story, but I hope it'll help you understand what's in the Bible. And it's a story called The Terrible Choice. Now, children, if you're listening, what I'd like you to do is listen out so you can think, if a friend asked me what the story was about, how would I describe it to them? Maybe you could draw some pictures. Maybe you have some keywords. Perhaps you can chat with the grown-ups after dinner. What's the story about? Now, where's my sheet? I'm going to try and get the sheet the right way around. Here we go. Chapter 1. The Sad Doctor. Once upon a time, there was a village called Emmanuel. It was a small village, approximately population of 250. It had a little food store. It had a school. And most importantly, it had a good coffee shop. There was also a doctor's surgery, which happened to be run by the greatest doctor in the world. He trained at the best university. He'd worked under the world's experts. And he wasn't just brilliant, he was kind. He loved the people of Emmanuel, and they loved him. One sunny morning, not too long ago, it was the annual school fete, and the villagers had gathered in the market square. There was the smell of candy floss in the air, and there was music wafting across the square. The villagers of Emmanuel were very, very happy. But one little girl called Eve noticed that there was someone who was not happy. The doctor was sitting all alone on the bench with great big wet tears streaming down his face. So Eve walked over to him and sat down next to him on the bench. She said, "Doctor, why are you crying?" He looked over to her and smiled a really sad smile and said, "Oh, Eve, it's my heart. It's breaking into a million billion pieces of sadness." Chapter one. Chapter two. The terrible choice. By now, all the villagers had stopped doing what they were doing and they were gathering round the bench. Their doctor was usually so calm and brave and cheerful. And they were wondering what had made him so sad. "Tell us, doctor," said Eve, "why are you crying so?" There was a long pause, and then the doctor stood up on the bench, took a deep breath. When he spoke, he was very, very serious. He said, "Friends, when I came to the village of Emmanuel all those years ago, I came with a very special mission. I came to heal you." "Cheer up, Doc," someone shouted from the crowd. "You do a great job of looking after us." But the doctor shook his head and said, "I'm talking about something much bigger than healing you from the bumps and bruises and colds you always get. I came to the village of Emmanuel to heal you from the deep sickness."
"The big what?" someone said.
The doctor went on. His face was blotchy with tears. He said, "Everyone who lives in this village, all of you, are infected with the deep sickness. It's in your blood. It's in your bones. It affects your beliefs. It affects your behavior. And unless you're cured of the deep sickness, unless you're cured of it, you're going to die." By now, no one was eating any candy floss. The faces of the whole village, they were frozen in terror. Little Eve, she spoke first and she said, "But you can cure us, doctor, can't you? You can cure us." And the doctor said, "It'll be very costly."
"We'll pay whatever it takes," said a voice from the crowd. "We'll pay."
"But you can't pay," said the doctor. "Only I can pay. Because the only way you can be cured is with my healing blood." "But doctor," said Eve, "how can you heal us? How can you cure us if you've got the deep sickness just like us?" "The thing is, Eve," said the doctor, "I don't have the deep sickness. That's why I came to the village. I came because I don't have the deep sickness. I came because I am the only one who can heal you." So Eve said, "But what happens, doctor, if you give us your healthy blood? What will happen to you?" Well, there was a long pause, and for a while the doctor didn't answer. And then he said, "If I give you my blood, I'll have to take some of yours."
But that means you'll get our sickness," cried out Eve.
"Yes," said the doctor quietly. "Is that why you were crying earlier?" asked Eve. "Are you scared, doctor?"
turned to her, trembling, and he said, "Eve, I'm terrified. Will it be very bad?" she said. And he said, "It'll be the worst." The doctor paused, and then he continued. He said, I'm not sure I can go through with it. I'm not sure I can go through with it. And then he got down off the bench in front of everyone and walked along to a little garden in the corner of the square. And in front of everyone, he threw himself down on the ground, sobbing, great sobs of sorrow and fear. And the villagers looked at each other. You see, all the years their doctor had seemed to them like a superhero. Brave, strong, indestructible, and yet here he was on the ground, overwhelmed, on the point of breaking. Would he give the villagers his blood so that they might live? Was he willing to face the horror of the deep sickness? Their lives were in his hands. What would he choose? I wonder, children particularly, if you're listening to the story, how do you think you would have felt if you were one of the villagers, seeing the doctor there on the ground crying? Not sure if he was going to save you or not. If you've got an answer, stick it up on the live chat. Chapter 3. The doctor's decision. The villagers watched the doctor from a distance, dumbstruck. A couple of times he got to his feet as if he were ready, and then he fell back down on the ground, unable to compose himself. What was going through his mind? They didn't know. Was he going to save himself? Would he save them? You know, it seemed like hours that they stood there watching him. And then the doctor stood up, straightened himself out, took a deep breath and started walking towards them very slowly until he was right back in the middle of the crowd. And he said, "People of Emmanuel, I came to this village to rescue you, to cure you all of the deep sickness. And you know how I love you. Like a parent loves a child. So I'm ready. I'm ready to take the deep sickness from you and give you my saving blood." "Is there no other way?" said someone from the crowd. "There must be another way, doctor." He said, "There is no other way." And then with a brave smile, he said, "Quickly, to the doctor's surgery. We have no time to lose." And with that, he resolutely headed down the street towards the little doctor's surgery on Golgotha Street. As the villagers followed him, little Eve turned to her father and said, "The doctor loves us with a very big love, doesn't he, Daddy?" And her father said, "The biggest love, the biggest love. Eve, we must never forget the doctor's tears. Never." And that is the end of our story.
It wasn't easy for the doctor to choose to die for the villagers of Emmanuel. And do you know that it wasn't easy for Jesus to choose to die for us? You see, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had to face something far worse than the deep sickness. Jesus chose to face God's judgment, the cup, for our sin. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, the thought of facing God's judgment for our sin, it broke Jesus' heart into a million billion pieces of sadness and fear. Because he knew that having to face God's judgment was the worst thing ever. It was worse than being arrested. It was worse than being tortured. It was worse than being nailed to the cross. What broke his heart into a million billion pieces of fear and sadness was what it would cost him. But Jesus knew that if he didn't face God's judgment for our sin, we would have to face God's judgment for our sin. And Jesus loved us too much to let that happen. So he got off the floor of the garden, wiped away his tears, settled his fears, and started walking to the cross. He got off the ground and walked to the cross for you and me. What love. I'm going to say a prayer. Father, we're sorry. We're sorry that we so often forget how difficult and scary it was for Jesus, knowing he would face the Father's judgment. Forgive us when we often think of him as a superhero. Forgive us when we think it cost him nothing, when it was nothing to die on the cross for us. Thank you for his love and bravery and obedience, so that we might never have to face your judgment. Amen. A few questions. Here we go. Oh, gosh. I think some people asked some questions here. Here are some questions. Was it hard for Jesus, even though he knew he was going to come back to life? I think the answer is it was hard for him. We know, because the Bible tells us that before he could come back to life, he had to face the Father's judgment for our sin. But he loved us so much, he wanted to do that. But it was very hard. That's a good question. Second question, why did Jesus think we were worth paying the price for? The answer is we weren't worth paying the price for. None of us were worth paying the price for. But he did it because he loved us. Not because there was anything in us, but because all the love was in him. Another question here. From Francis. Francis, good question. How can we practically respond to Jesus' sacrifice for us? I think just one response is the fact that we would not treat it lightly. We wouldn't think it was easy. We wouldn't think Easter was a breeze for Jesus. Second point might be that Jesus' death is, if you like, also a model for us. And Jesus' sacrifice was clearly really hard for him. So if in the weeks and months ahead, we are going to be asked to do some hard things with our time, with our money, with our resources, let's remember how hard Jesus found it. He didn't die easily on the cross. And I pray that would encourage us to make some hard decisions as well. Final question from Georgie. Since Jesus has the power to stop pain, didn't he just make it not painful for himself as he died? Jesus would have had the power to do anything. But again, we know from the Bible, he found it incredibly painful on the cross. But this story, I think, shows us it wasn't the physical pain that Jesus suffered on the cross that was the worst thing. It was actually the pain of facing his father's judgment and being separated from it. I think that's probably all we've got time for questions now. I should just say that if you have got any feedback practically about how we are doing the live streams, or anything about